But the high on the high on the first day of summer is only going to be 71. I think we ought to vote against that. Anyway.
Second.
Was that to adjourn?
All right. I've asked Tyler if he would lead us in the pledge, and Dave Harris will offer an invocation.
All right, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Father in heaven, we are grateful to be here tonight at this Water Conservancy Board meeting, and we ask that blessing to be with us, to bless us with in our efforts to make the best decisions possible for those that we serve. Bless the members of this community, and bless us that we will have sufficient water for our needs. Grateful for the precipitation that we've received thus far this year, this last winter. Ask that it continue to bless us. We are grateful for the nation in which we live, for the freedoms we enjoy, for all the blessings we have in this. We say in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, first item is the declaration of abstentions or conflicts of interest by board members. If anything like that foreseen on this agenda by anyone?
No.
Okay, the next item is to consider approval of the minutes from our previous board meeting held May the 16th. Are there any corrections or additions or items you'd like to discuss about our prior board meeting?
Still motion for.
I'll motion the approval of May's board meeting minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you. Okay, on the financial information, the first item is to consider approval of the payment of bills and adjustments from May 11th through June the 12th. Who's going to take care of that? Are you going to, Mandy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll try my best. On the payment approval sheet, on page one, we have an invoice that we paid to Barnett Intermountain Water Consulting. They have done review work on our current water proposals, and we've also brought them on to help with the GIS. They also did the GIS and some groundwater modeling. And part of the reimbursements were for the presentation that Don came down and did for the Water Advisory Committee. Also on the first page, there's a payment for a backup pump for Park West. Park West, I was visiting with John, and they were able to get the pump working again, but they wanted to have one on hand that they'll just be able to swap out when that one finally does go. So there's that charge. On page five, you'll see our payment for our yearly audit that Kimball and Roberts came down and did for us. Page six, we had to replace our monitor on the Three Peaks tank. So that's just that transducer that, I believe that transducer is what works with SCADA?
Yes.
Okay. On page seven, we had to replace the motor on the Eagle Valley chlorinator. And then we also had some water sampling done at SUU. And that wasn't a big invoice, but they are going to be doing some of our water sampling on our recharge projects. Beginning on page 9 and into page 10, you'll see that our Verizon bill is going to increase. We have the cost now for the SIM cards that are going to be recording the data logger information on our recharge projects. So Tracy and Paul have worked really hard to get those all in place. And so we can have, I believe that's what's giving us the live information.
Yes.
Okay. If anyone has any questions on the payment approvals.
Maybe if I can jump in just really quick and just note on those, the water sample recharge, that's I'm having Tracy sample that once a week or every other week, depending on when he can grab those samples. But wanted to see what type of trend we see as the snow melt comes off, to see if there's variable levels as the snow melt comes off, if there's different water chemistries that comes down. And so one thing that we've noticed in some of the flash floods is there's significantly higher total dissolved solids that comes out of Coal Creek at that point. So I'm wondering if there's a lot of minerals that are picked up out of Cedar Breaks or at what location it is. So that's kind of the purpose behind that. And then in correlation with that, again, just on recharge, the SIM cards from Verizon, we'll see a significant increase on our monthly bill for the flow meters at all of the locations where we're going to monitor stream flow throughout the valley. So I think it's going to be a great benefit for our water users in the valley. So all the irrigation companies, we're going to monitor all of their flows, and then we'll be monitoring all of the recharge pits in Enoch and the Cedar City, as well as the ones the district are doing. So we're excited about that. Sorry, Mandy.
No, thank you.
Good. Okay, any further questions or discussion on those payment of the bills for the last month? If not, I'll entertain a motion that we approve those.
Make a motion to approve the payment of bills for May 11th through June 12th, 2019.
Okay. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Paul, do you want to run over some more further financial information?
Yeah, Mandy. Mandy, you go. Keep the reins on that one.
All right. All righty. As for the transaction register, everything's pretty basic. We had a few more customers sign up for paperless billing and some cleanup on some return payments. There is one that we'll probably need to make note of. We had a customer, we needed to refund some money that he had paid on a lot that he actually didn't own. So we took care of that cleanup and got that all straightened out.
How long did he pay on it to get that much? A couple of years?
Since we took over Cedar Highlands. So it was an error when they gave us the information to put into our system. Anyway, so he was happy that we took care of that, and we were glad that we were able to figure that out. Jess actually is the one who found the lot. So anyway,
it's did we put that on as a credit versus
yeah we
a
didn't
check back?
We didn't give him we didn't cut him a check. He wanted it just as credits on his other payments. He owns lots up there that get their monthly charge. So he asked that we just apply that credit to those accounts, which worked out good for us. So a lot of that is just the cleanup for that credit. Then on the operational side of the budget, just a couple of things to highlight. For connection fees, we have 35 this year. And at this time last year, we were at 40. But in our current budget year, we only budgeted for 45. So I still believe we will hit that number. A couple of the items, we're halfway through the year. We just have a few line items that I think I've gone over previously that are a little above that. But those are the things that we take care of at the first of each year. Also down towards the bottom of the page under state grants, it shows zero right now, but we just today submitted a request for the UCC grant that is for the recharge projects, and that'll pay, that's for $50,000, and we should be receiving up to two-thirds of the cost of the data loggers, which I'll talk about on the capital side of the budget. Anyways, we should get up to $33,000 in reimbursement on those. Anyways, and there's also a $250,000 legislative appropriation for the EIS, which we'll also go over on the capital side of the budget. So if you just turn over the page, under Coal Creek, the recharge, we just paid an invoice today that you guys just signed the check for just around $51,000. That's for those 11 data loggers that Paul was talking about that are going to record that activity. And that's where we're going to be able to apply some of that grant money. Paul, was that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, on the West Desert, that's where the legislative funds that I was talking about are going to be used towards that EIS project. We just paid an invoice for Transcon today for just under $41,000, which is for the EIS, and hopefully we'll have those funds coming in and be able to pay for that. We're looking at around $750,000 to be spent on the West Desert in the next 3 years. This year we've budgeted $250,000. Next year we're looking at $250,000. And then with those state funds coming in, it'll be $250,000. And that's where we're coming up with that number. The proposal from Transcon that was approved is $600,000, just under $600,000, I believe. And then the financial business plan and the water needs assessment will be between $100,000 and $150,000. So that's where those funds will be used. That was all that I had to go over. Paul, did I hit all?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You guys have any questions on that? It was just the only thing was just we anticipate 2 years instead of 3 years, hopefully.
Oh,
with that.
Perfect.
So it'll be $750,000 that we'll spend in the next 2 years to complete the EIS. And incorporated with that, as Maddie said, contribute to the EIS will be the financial business plan and water needs assessment, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right. You want to give us some report on your report then, Paul?
Unless we wanted to just stick with the financial portion
and go with
Gabe and Rick talk to us if the board wants to move that direction.
You go home twice as fast as you got here. It'll be there.
Put the neutral in.
So we'll turn the time to our auditors to give us our report report of the audit.
Well, thank you. It's an opportunity to come down. We thank you for inviting us down to present the audit, and we'll just be quite brief tonight. I know you had a lot to cover. You've covered some good financial information. It's good to see you go over the reports. That's one of the state requirements, you know, to review reports, at least on a quarterly basis, and it's good to hear you that you do that. If you'll turn to this audit report on page 3, this is the report that we give after we finish the audit. And it is our opinion on the status of the financial statements. And in this audit report on page 3, it's called the Independent Auditor's Report. It talks about the reports, the management's responsibility for the financial statements, auditor's responsibility, and if you turn the page, we have a small paragraph there that has our opinion. It says, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above in the prior page present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the business type activities of Central Iron County Water Conservancy District at December 31st, 2018, the changes in financial position and cash flows thereof for the year then ended in accordance with the accounting principles generally accepted in the United States of America. So basically what that we're saying there is this is called an unmodified or a clean opinion. We found no material errors or irregularities that we would be required to report in this financial statement. So things look very good. This report is broken down into about 4 different parts. The opinion page, and then we go to the management's discussion and analysis, which starts on page 5. and goes to about page 9. And in this management discussion analysis, it takes the current year and compares it to the prior year, shows any changes there, and has condensed financial statements in it. You can look at that at your leisure. Then we turn to the basic financial statements, which is on page 10. Page 11 and 12, this is the statement of net position on page 11. This is a snapshot at December 31st, 2018, of where the finances of the district were. As you'll notice at the top, the very first thing you're concerned with is the cash. And so cash and investments at the end of the year were $4,176,000 compared to the prior year with $3,424,000. So the cash increased. As you look down through the balance sheet, so to speak, your liabilities, total liabilities, down towards the bottom of the page, $9,373,000 compared to last year, $968,000. So the liabilities have gone down. You're paying your debts as they're coming due. Part of this liability is also the net pension liability, which is quite small, $65,000 this year at the end of the year. And what that is if the state retirement fund were to close the doors, the district would then be responsible for about $65,000 in retirement benefits to its employees. So that's interesting to keep in the back here. Mind the school districts, you can't imagine the liabilities they have to pick up. Some school districts throws their net position into a negative position. It puts them in the red if they had to pay all those retirement benefits. Oh,
explain that again to me. If the TIA, if the...
It's the Utah State Retirement Fund.
If they go broke?
If they were to go broke, this would be your share of the liability that you'd have to pay that they couldn't.
To them or to our people here?
To your people here. Hmm. The people you have employed. So
that's $650,000?
No, it's $64,631.
Oh, up at the top.
Now, down here on the bottom. Brent, down here, non-current liabilities. Net pension liability, $64,631. You see that? Page 11. It's about a third of the way up the page on the bottom. Do you see it?
Mine says 30,000.
No, net
go up three more lines and then that.
Net pension liability.
Oh, I see that. Net pension liability. I see. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Why is it so much less this year than last?
Because the retirement fund did better on their return on investments than they had planned, so that liability goes down. Mm-hmm. If they were able to achieve what they were predicting they would earn to pay all the benefits, that would continue to go down, meaning you wouldn't have to pay any of that. But if they make less than that, then that goes up.
Who audits them?
There's a firm from back east that does the audit on the district. There's a lot of pages on here. Gabe will go over some of them briefly, but there's a lot of information here on how they do their analysis of their retirement fund. So on page 12, this is the statement of changes in revenues, expenses, and net position. What this is the revenues that the district has taken in this year, and the operating expenses at the top, then the non-operating revenue down below. You'll notice the district had water sales at the top of $604,000 about, operating expenses of $1,450,000, but non-operating revenues, which is mostly the property tax that you receive, $1,792,000 you take in as I'm going down the page. So overall, your changes in net position, you increased the net position by $1,462,000 over the year. And then the next page, if you turn over the next page, this is the statement of cash flows. It's kind of a cash receipts and disbursements schedule. It shows, takes the beginning cash at the first of night of 2018, and then reconciles it to the end of the year on what happened. So at the very top, we have cash flows from operating activities, and it shows the amount you actually received in cash from customers and so on. Below that, cash flows from non-capital financing activities, which would be your property tax that you actually received in cash, grant revenues, then cash flows from capital and related financing activities. You have impact and connection fees, $384,000, which you received this year. You acquired capital assets. You spent $875,000 on new capital assets, and you paid interest on your loans, $311,000, and you paid off principal of $600,000. You earned interest of $56,000, so your net cash increased $779,000, so it took your cash from $4,075,000 to $4,853,000. So that's the statement of cash flows. Kind of shows you where the money came from and where it went. I'm going to turn some time over to Gabe to go basically through the notes and the rest of this statement. And so I'll turn the time over to him.
Okay. We'll have to bring some pyro next time to make this real exciting. We'll try to get here a little earlier next year and set some up. As Rick's covered the financials through page 13, the notes to the financial statements start on page 14, and the notes are to further describe the entity, the presentation of these statements, and then they go on to give more detail to the amounts on page 11, which is your statement of net position. So we'll just kind of skip through and hit a couple of highlights here. The first one being note number 2 on the bottom of page 17, which is your cash note. It basically shows you at the end of the year where your money was held. The top section shows that you had cash on deposit or in the bank in your operating account of just over $2 million, $2.1 million, and then you had $2.7 million in the state treasurer's pool. The section below that, which you can see the total cash is the same amount, that describes how much of your cash is unrestricted and restricted. And you see there that $677,897 is restricted, which means it's restricted by an outside source, and that's specifically for your bond reserve requirement. So that money has to be set aside, which it is in a PTIF case. And so that's kind of shows you the summary of where your cash is and how it's restricted. The next note, and this is interesting to me, just it's kind of funny, but you'll notice that the PTIF amount, where it says the state treasurer's investment pool of 2.741621 at the bottom of page 17, that's the actual cash that's in the bank in the pool. But if you turn to the notes that further describe your investment in the pool, that amount is less. Well, GASB says that you have to report your amount and your investments at fair market value, and it just so happens that you times that by an amount less than one. So you still really do have, that's not a typo, you still really do have 2.741, but for some reason they want us to report it at fair value, and it's apparently not worth as much on this page as it is the other page. Anyway, so that's just an interesting little figure that you won't be able to tie that to anywhere, and that's why. Page 21 talks about your capital assets. You'll see the additions and any deletions. There were no deletions or retirements. Everything was just additions with either land, water rights, and easements, construction in progress, and then what you've added to your system and equipment, some vehicles and other miscellaneous equipment. You can see the additions there. Page 22 is a good schedule for your debt. You'll see that at the top of page 22, the amount matured this year was just over $600,000 that you've retired in debt. Went from 9.3 to 8.7. So that's good when debt goes down. Then the debt is further described on pages 23 and 24. And in the middle of page 24, you'll see the breakdown of your bond reserves. By bond, how much is required. And the top four, you'll see, are fully funded. There's nothing being added to them, with the bottom three being fully funded here in a few years. Everything you'll have will be fully funded. So unless you get any new debt, you'll have sufficient cash to make those final bond payments. Any questions on any of that stuff? We good? Sweet.
I would just say on those bond reserves, the interest that we earn in that account will actually fund, through our PTF account, will actually fund those reserves as they come due over the next couple years.
Especially now, the pool is paying, we've seen across the board, very high interest for money in the state pool. So they're paying well.
Is that because they're good investors? Money, or who makes the decision?
It could be because it's just the return that they're in. Yeah, they're just, everything's doing well. The economy's strong, and interest rates are good, and investments are good. So I think a lot of it.
The interesting thing is, though the state treasurer's pool, even though it's the state pool, you have no federal insurance with that pool. There we go. Like at the bank, you have $250,000 in your name on a bank on for your name per bank. The pool, you don't have anything.
I'll gamble on Utah's financial affairs.
Yeah,
affair,
yeah.
We're okay.
Money.
I'm just saying, there's no FDIC. In the bank.
Yeah.
I think they're returning just over 2% right now.
Yeah, it's been up and. A lot of entities have been able to turn quite a bit of interest this last year. Okay, starting on page 25, and these notes from 25 all the way to 31, these are the notes that are from the state retirement office that Rick described. These are the notes that are inserted to your financial statements from their reporting and their studies, and it describes further on how they come up with that net pension liability and the deferred income and outflows, or deferred inflows and outflows that you're required to add to your statements. And those are all related to the retirement obligations there. And so we won't cover anything of that. That's great late evening reading as you're trying to get dozed off. Same thing with pages 33 and 34 and 35. Those are all related to your pension from the state retirement. So we'll just turn to the last two reports. So pages 37 and 38, this is our report on internal control over financial reporting. And that basically what we do here is if there were any, during our audit as we perform tests, if there are any weaknesses or deficiencies that we identify in any of your processes, cash receipting, cash disbursements, checks and balances, segregation of duties, those kinds of things, we would identify that as a deficiency or a weakness. At the bottom of page 37, you'll notice is during our audit, we did not identify any deficiencies in internal control that we consider to be material weaknesses. However, material weaknesses may exist that have not been identified. That's our little disclosure, because if you don't catch everything, we're not auditing to catch everything. We're just trying to be aware and make sure that the financial statements don't have a risk of being materially misstated by those lack of controls. And so that's the purpose of this report. Your staff does a great job. It is a small staff regarding, you know, that it's more difficult to get good segregation of duties when you have a smaller staff, but with your oversight, and as Rick said, you know, you guys do a lot of things in your meetings, and as your board comes down and is involved with those processes and reviewing, and Paul and Mandy and Jessica, they do a great job of making sure that those checks and balances are divided and you guys are great. I mean, compared to what we see in a lot of other entities, especially smaller entities, you guys do a very good job. Your staff does well. So they're to be commended, as always. So that would cover that report. The final report is on page 39 and 40. This is the independent auditor's report on compliance and report on internal control over compliance as required by the state compliance audit guide. So every year the state auditor's office issues an audit guide that requires us to test specific things. Those things this year are described in the center of page 39. You'll see budgetary compliance, Utah retirement systems, etc. There are certain requirements with those. It's not an all-inclusive list, but we do have to specifically test all of those areas. And our opinion is given at the top of page 40 on this report in that, in our opinion, Central Iron County Water Conservancy District complied in all material respects with the compliance requirements referred to above that could have a direct or material effect on the district for the year ended December 31, 2018. So again, another clean opinion. There's no findings, no management letter or recommendations for you. You know, kind of boring for us. We like to find stuff so we can feel like we really did a good job, but we look and we dig and everything looked pretty good. So
we'll just take a discount then on the...
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to say, before you approved that, we should have made sure there was enough zeros on the end of that thing.
Just one more, right?
Just one more. One more will be fine. No. No, but we appreciate you. Thanks for letting us come down. And
what happens if you audit an outfit like this and you have a lot of problems with it? Who then is responsible? Their own board or
management, which is the board or the council or the commissioners? You know, whatever the entity type, you're responsible for these are your statements. We've had some situations where it's been close. Rick in the past has had some where they've actually acted just walk off and say, we'll come back when your statement is good. But ultimately, that's the management's oversight to make sure that you have good statements to audit. And you know, you're using a good software provider that with Polaris, you know, they're heavily involved, and that makes it nice for your staff. You've got good staff that understand. And I think as you guys review those financial statements and become more familiar with them, that's honestly what we see the most probably frequent, is that the management isn't as familiar with the statements as they should be. So they really don't know what they're looking at when they're looking at the financials. So I think familiarizing yourself with that, and then the procedures that your office staff is using to make sure there's no errors or irregularities, you know, and what you guys have done. As I say, I'm not just saying you guys are a really efficient district. There's a lot of small districts that struggle, and they just can't, you know, we struggle getting a statement from them, and it's could be hand ledger, half QuickBooks, half ledger, half is on, half is off, and you end up spending a lot of time fixing the statement instead of doing the audit. But anyway.
Well, good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Gabe.
Appreciate you.
There's our financial statements we provide, obviously the checks, and then right after that, the transaction register is a key area to note for fraud. So that's adjustments to anybody's account that's displayed there. I think that the developer of our software used to be an auditor, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Neil Duncan,
right. Uh-huh. And so he came from the background of auditing municipalities, and then he went into developing the software because he could see how it could benefit. So it really is geared towards making financial reports for municipalities, boards to look at and review and meet all the state requirements. So it's handy. It's nice.
Are you using Polaris?
Yes.
Like everything got easier when we switched from, what was it?
Cassell.
It seems like audits went better after that. Just, of course, some staff changed too.
Okay. Well, appreciate it.
Thank you again. Appreciate you.
Make a motion to approve the audit if you
would. We at 6. We want to do that?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Make a motion to approve the, adopt the 2018 audit.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Good. All right. Is there anything else you want to go over on your report, Paul?
Just real quick, I've mentioned a couple of things on the operations side. We, but I will mention just quickly that the guys were up at Cedar Highlands today. Jeff's got a lot of burnt holes in his shirt. We hired a good handyman. He's a great welder. We had a leak in the bottom of the Cedar Highlands tank where there's I don't know why, but they had a little trap door in the bottom of the tank. I don't know how common that is to have steel tanks with little doors at the bottom, but there's a gasket in the start that wore out, and so we just went ahead and had Jeff weld a steel plate all the way around that. So
there's no more trap door.
No more trap door. Yeah, you can't swim to the bottom and get out anymore. And then aside from that, we've spent quite a bit of time.
You got a degree in underwater welding?
That's right.
He's working on that certificate.
Yeah, that's when he still.
So did you open the trap door before you welded it
yes,
shut,
sir.
Or did you just figure what's in there stays?
Well, we opened it up.
Drained it out. So. And then spent a lot of time putting in these data loggers as described a few seconds ago. In addition to that, Tracy, anything else that you want to bring for the board need to be aware of?
Just trying to stay on top of things.
We've had three leaks they fixed in 1 week, and we hadn't had a leak in probably 3 years prior to that. So
been a while.
And they all sprung up at once. But they whipped those into shape. And
bad gaskets or what?
There was just some things that were in weird places. There was a blow off that was not supposed to be where it was at, and so we capped it, and we had a few other things that had for some reason there was a top of a mainline valve that had busted the side of it off, and we have no idea how long ago that happened, but it finally surfaced. It just takes forever for these things to surface before we find them, and just happened, these three happened all in the same week. So.
Well, it finally quit raining enough you could see where the. Yeah. You just thought it was a puddle from rain.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true, too. That is true. But it's nice to have a backhoe where we can just tackle anything that comes around. Take care
You're
of
making good use of it, aren't you?
Definitely. Definitely.
Within that awesome. Capital side of the budget, there was put some funds in there to find a. Single axle dump truck and a trailer to travel that backhoe around. So we're keeping our eyes open for one of those. Mm.
DOT numbers, CDLs, have to deal with the troopers. It's not worth it.
Just drive the
truck. Just drive the backhoe.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a pain. Yeah. It's a daily headache.
Well, we'll do like the rest of you and transport at midnight.
I thought Mike was your friend. Can't he modify or fix things?
They're a whole different category.
Oh. They answer to one man up Salt Lake.
Okay.
Let's see.
The water fair. Where's the water fair? Is when?
Yeah, water festival is this next weekend, the 29th. So that'll be Main Street Park. And we've had a lot of excitement about it this year. We've had more sponsors than we've ever had in the past, more booths, and should have some really good, interesting booths on water-efficient products. So it'll be a good event. It'll be fun. And then our Water Advisory Committee this last month was on conservation. We had Faye Ruthenhauser from the state came down, as well as Candace Shively. They talked about conservation measures and goals and things like that for Utah. You were at that one, weren't you, Brent?
Mm-hmm.
Came to that one. This next one is really important. Encourage all of you to come to it a week from today, 4 o'clock, at the Cedar City Library. But it'll be the economist out of Las Vegas that's done some work for us in analyzing the value of water and how that relates to our different projects and he does a really good job presenting, and I'd encourage you, if you can make it, to try and make that.
4 o'clock?
4 o'clock, the library, a week from today, Thursday. And if you want to invite anybody from the community, that'd be good. We are going to reach out to the city council members in all of our cities and invite them, as well as our county commissioners and any others that you guys think that would be important for them to come. It's key members of our community. It's definitely a worthwhile discussion and learning experience, so it'll be good. So yeah, be sure to invite your colleagues. That's all I have on public affairs. Jess, is there anything that missing on that end? Okay,
let's see. Next, we're down to, we're going to skip water right acceptance policy. Consider approval of a resolution to adopt the final tax rate for 2018 for the district.
Yeah, I think just a note on the water right acceptance policy. I'd like to have a full board here to fully discuss that. I'd like to have participation from everyone and just be able to.
Somebody doesn't get their feelings hurt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we need to discuss that with everyone.
I'll make a motion to table the policy then till next time.
Thanks. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. It's approved.
So the tax rate is established by the state auditor or the county auditor, and it's put together by the assessors. They assess the property. Kind of the bottom line, though, for this year, you can see. Let's see. It is in your packet. There's a image straight from the state website on our. Acceptance is probably in tab 3. Yeah, the back of tab 3, just before 4. So the tax rate you can see there in 2018 was 0.00537, and we were to bring in 1.6 million, and then the new tax rate is 0.00551. So the tax rate has gone down. And that's been an ongoing trend. That's usually what you see when everything is doing well and values go up. You have a constant amount that comes in. The reason why we have an increased amount in our budget is because of the new growth of about 57,000. So that with the new growth, we'll bring in about 1.7 million next year. So unless we want to raise taxes, which is a pretty strenuous process and not a joyous one. I don't really see a need to raise taxes at this point, but unless anybody really wants to, I would suggest we just move forward with the assessor and auditor's proposed tax rate of 0.00537.
I'll make a motion to adopt the final tax rate of 2018 for the Water District.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
You get to sign that.
Everybody or just me?
Just you.
Okay. Next item is consider the approval of an engagement for applied analysis to update the district's water resource economic and financial analysis.
Let's see, is that?
Are we on that one?
We had 9.
Or Wawa and Pine Valley.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it. Wawa and Pine Valley. Okay. Consider the approval of a consultant for the district financial business plan water needs assessment.
So we met as a committee, you've got a letter there, and I'll just read this. It's from myself there, but proposals for the Pine Valley Water Supply and Conservation Project Water Needs Assessment and Financial Business Plan were received on Friday, June 14th, 2019, Proposals were received from four firms that included a written statement of qualification and descriptive plans per the request. These firms are Corallo Engineers, Sunrise Engineering, Stantec, and AE2S. Fees were submitted in a separate sealed envelope and were not evaluated by members of the review committee, and after the review committee scored the proposals. The review and ranking committee consisted of Brent Hunter, Spencer Jones, David Harris, Curtis Nelson, Kelly Crane, and Paul Monroe, met on Monday, June 17th. In addition to these proposals were reviewed by our municipal advisor, Jonathan Ward from Zions Bank, who confirmed the committee's opinion. Upon completion of ranking the proposals and fee, it is recommended that the Board of Directors award the Pine Valley Water Supply Project Water Needs Assessment and Financial Business Plan in the amount of $99,660 to Corallo Engineers. So after we went through the full process, that's what the recommendations came back. The score total, actually were very tight, very similar firms, all very qualified, and in my opinion, basically just came down to fee. Brent and David, I don't know if you have anything else you want to add.
No, I think we agreed that they were all very well qualified. There wasn't a big separation there. I think that was probably the tiebreaker there on the fee.
As part of state compliance, we separate out the fee so that review committee, you know, fee's not in the back of anybody's mind when they're reviewing any of the consultants. And I actually really like that. It takes a lot out of it as far as any bias that you might see beforehand. And Mandy was the one that actually compiled the fees. It was already in a spreadsheet, she said, to plug in the fee amount. And that's how it came out, so.
Cool. Any further discussion, Tom or Tyler? Do you have any questions?
Just one question.
Okay.
Who is Corallo Engineers? Or where are they from, or whatever?
This is Corey Dow from Corallo Engineers. They are.
I'm local, or.
We have no one local in Cedar City. We have offices on either side.
Yeah, well, you're here every week. So.
He just loves us that much.
Well, that's understandable.
The only local firm that might be considered local would be Sunrise Engineering.
Right.
Yeah, and their fee wasn't close enough to give them a local
preference. I was just curious who. Yeah. The other three I know very well. And I'll leave it at that.
Corallo's done some work for Cedar City. Clint used to work for Corallo and now works for Stantec, but he worked on the wastewater treatment plant on the full remodel there, and then Corey did the wastewater treatment plant effluent study to analyze the effluent, see where best to utilize that and put it back to use.
Okay.
So they've both been engaged with projects here in Cedar. And then AE2S, they worked on, I don't know if you remember, but last year they worked on actually this same project proposal. We gave them $7,000 to go after a grant for the Bureau of Rec that we didn't receive.
And Stantec's everywhere.
Well, at any rate, so if there's no further questions, I'll entertain a motion that we approve the
from the staff side, we sure appreciate those guys for putting proposals together and looking at this project. It's obviously very vital to what we're doing and the community here, and we sure appreciate these guys taking time to put these together and do such a great job, because they really were well put together and well presented proposals. We were very appreciative of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we award the bid to Corallo Engineers
the amount of $99,660.
Second.
Okay. Do you want to go?
Just a question. Will you make this scoring available? I know it would be painful to see where we fell short. But.
According to the state code, we can't make the scoring available. It explicitly says that in there. But we'll share what we can with you.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. We approve that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
I can, I mean, I'll tell you just honestly that it was, you know, it pretty well just came down to fee. There was really not.
I was going to say.
Your proposal was solid. It was good. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Here we go, except for that.
Okay, we're down to number 10, right? Approval.
Not that I care, it's just funny.
The approval of an engagement for applied analysis to update the Center Water Water Resource Economic and Fiscal Analysis.
Yeah, so this is just a continued engagement with our consultant for applied analysis to help them further the report. The economic analysis will go towards, a lot of this information will go towards the socioeconomic portion of our EIS. And I'm sure a lot of it too will be placed in the business plan that we just approved. But so that's, I can go into further detail unless you have any other further discussion. Oh, we've talked about it previous, so.
So we don't need a motion on that. Or we
yeah,
do?
Yeah.
We do?
Yeah, consider the approval of the engagement there.
Okay. Somebody like to make a motion to approve that engagement?
Make a motion to approve the engagement for applied analysis to update the water district, water resource economic and fiscal analysis.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
I was waiting for you, Tom.
I know.
One of you guys is going to do it.
Thank you.
Well, you have to make a motion, sir.
Okay, we're down to item number 11, which is the time for public comment. Does anyone like want to make any public comments?
Lined up out the door.
Okay. If not, then the next item is to update and discussion on the aquifer recharge.
I've already mentioned some of the things. It looks like we peaked on June 5th, but we're still getting quite a bit of water. It's great. A lot of water that's going to waste.
That's a late peak, isn't it?
It peaks the 15th of May.
You can see on this chart here that that's on your screen, but typically right now we are flowing at about 50 CFS and we're flowing out about 220 CFS.
That's the total flow of the creek.
Total flow of the creek, yeah.
I just hit a button, by the way.
There we go.
Oh, no. That'll be easier.
There we go.
So that's pretty neat. And then the bottom line you see there flowing at 12 CFS was last year. So that's the story of two.
Tale of 2 years.
Tale of 2 years. I guess that's how you get an average, right?
Yeah.
Well, last year's was more consistent.
Yeah, it was pretty consistent, wasn't it? Yeah.
Didn't run anything. So yeah.
When you don't have any snow melt, it stays pretty consistent. Just right. straight springs.
A trickle is just a trickle.
Yeah. So it's been pretty fun to recharge and see all of the projects that we've worked on over the last 4 or 5 years to be putting quite a bit of water in them. We'd hope that we could do more and
is there still water going into that pit north of the airport?
Yeah. Yep. That's pretty well the only one that's been sustainably taken.
All three are flowing.
Well, which three?
Airport, City Pits, and Western Rock. All three are still flowing full blast.
Paul?
But the Schmidt Pit, we're not taking anything in that one. Mm-hmm.
Or Tracy, maybe you'll know, and just my own curiosity, the water I see coming down Coal Creek and, you know, down past my house, you know, down by the nursery and stuff, mm-hmm. is extremely silty. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Are those gravel pits or recharge areas, are they silting up at all, or are they still working fine? Or
you know, the ones at the airport runway, on the mm-hmm. sides of the runway, it's amazing how much water they take, and they haven't slowed down at all. We haven't seen any slowdown on any of them this year, and it's possible that they will silt up a little bit, but you know, when you go take a sample of that water, mm-hmm. it looks really bad, but there is not very much sand in that.
Really?
I mean, we've been sampling Coal Creek for the last month and a half, and there's never been a week where there was, you know, that much sand. It's just a little teeny bit of sand in the bottom of those sample jars.
You're not seeing a problem with silting in them ponds? And
no.
They're still working good?
I bet you in that western pit, there'll be...
It'll be tremendous
several
in that
feet
one.
Of sediment right at the
yeah.
mouth.
Mm. It'll look like a big old
delta.
Well, I just asked that because that pit, you know, that Schmidt did there by...
Is that the county pit?
Road it is. You go over the bridge, the old bridge, over the freeway there where Coal Creek comes down,
uh-huh.
and it splits off right there.
Bulldog.
Yeah. That one side is just covered with silt.
Yeah.
And I just wondered if your others were doing the same thing.
Until we can see the bottom of them, we won't know. But, I mean, even if it is just a little bit in the bottom of those bottles, it's still sand. And so there's going to be a lot.
I think there's a lot that we get that's able to go in through the sides as well.
Yeah.
But it's pretty. You go over to the at the one by the airport, the Western Rock Pit. Mm-hmm. If you go just to the south of that, the pit where they're currently mining, you'll go see some pretty blue water. It's come.
It's through. Amazing.
And
it's amazing.
It's seeped up through the bottom there, but it's
going into the other one, and the water, the aquifer's rising on the other side in the other pit.
Just filters as it gets pushed over to this one.
It looks like it's the Bahamas.
It is pretty cool looking.
Palm trees and all.
So who's in charge of the pit straight across on Bulldog from Mel Clark's office?
I believe that's the county owned.
That thing's almost at the top right now. It's probably 5 feet, 6 feet from going being to the capacity in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's filled right up.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, it's pretty well silted off. So whatever's going in,
so that doesn't have anything to do with ours.
No, that's just tailwater from the irrigation systems up in the north field.
Oh. Yeah, that water runs off of
those fields.
Heap and Lefevre's fields right there, comes right down and goes across and into that pond from the north south into that pond.
I'm always curious to ask, and I always forget. So.
Well, we recommended to the county engineer that they clean that pit. He took his machine in there and about lost the machine. So you're going to have to dry it up for quite a while before they could get in there and clean it out. But it's I think that's an issue that we're going to have to deal with all of these things.
Mm-hmm. So this is the start of our new webpage then. This has all of the live flows. They're going to come in and tweak these and make sure they're reading accurate, but you can see there at the airport pit, that first one, they need to adjust the flows there. It's showing a zero read there.
That one, Paul, hasn't been installed yet.
Oh, it hasn't been installed.
But we are getting a perfect flow level on our other one.
So we'll
download that and have information to update with.
Okay, very good. So you see Horse Alley, the outlet hasn't been installed yet, but the inlet is there. So right now you can see it's 4 hours ago when this last pulled, it was flowing at 2.8 CFS. And then if you scroll down, you can see we've got Canaraville, the flow's there.
That's in our irrigation pond, our irrigation settling pond, right?
Yeah. Right, Tracy?
That's the one that goes into those two flumes, yes.
Yeah.
It goes both directions. And they're both overflowing.
Oh, yeah, they have been.
Click on that graph on that Canaraville on the flow CFS. See So you can click on it. You can go back a month, 3 months, a year, 6 months, and print off whatever you want. So that's available on all those. There's Old Field, Southwest Field, and then the Western Rock Pit. So there's some issues that we need to do to tweak that, but there's 9 stations total. I don't know how many we just looked at there, but there's a couple more that need to be added in. So anyway, it's coming along. It's available. If you go to our webpage, you can either, it's right there at the bottom. It'll always be there at the bottom, Live Water Flows, or you can navigate like Curtis did up the top. There's a menu button, and go to Cedar Valley Live Water Flows. So that will be available for everyone to see what's happening.
That's good.
So one more thing, Paul, too. That, so at the tilting weir gate, we've had issues with that actuator. That thing just won't go.
It's out at Quitchapaw.
So I met with John. We started last week. We went out and kind of troubleshot and tried to pull things apart. The fuses were blown. They got those replaced, and it was able to fire up, and we got it working for a little bit, and then it stopped again. So I tried calling Rocky Mountain Valve to see if they could get tech down here. They didn't have anybody available, so I called AMA, them out of, I think they're out of Pittsburgh. Talked to them. They recommended I call ATSCO. They're out of Heber City. So they had a rep come down yesterday. He took a look at it, and we explained the situation, and somehow it got water into the actuator, and it came down and settled in the bottom. And the switches for the tolerances and things like that, I think they were just fried from having water in and condensation. So he's going to go and kind of get us a couple quotes to repair it or replace it. But right now we need it, so we're kind of manually operating it. We got Tracy's got an attachment on his drill that he can raise and lower it until we get flows are done for the year, and then
we're not receiving any water there right now.
Yeah, that's what I noticed yesterday.
They've taken
out there, so
everybody's taking all of it.
So we'll kind of evaluate in a couple weeks. But the guy from ATSCO was very helpful. He says he's down here quite a bit, so just let him know. He'll swing by. And he can pick it up and take it up in his shop and figure out the best approach we need to do to get that actuator back working, and we can start using it again in the fall.
Why don't you tell us what Josh is going to do out there, too, with this live water flow?
He will be back. He'll be back on July 1st.
But what he's going to be able to do?
He's bringing a guy with him that's really good with the gates and stuff, and they'll be taking care of all of the 3 gates for the east, Bulldog and
Northfield,
as well as the main city gate that it will, they'll be able to go online and shut it without having to be there in case of a big flood comes down through. So they don't put any of that. But anyway, out at the recharge project at Quitchapaw, he is going to install an ultrasonic over top of the water, and he's also going to be able to take. The concern that we have is how much water is getting past us. Because this year, there were times where we can handle 4 to 5 CFS with our pumps to put them up, and we're letting 100 CFS go past us without any ability to know exactly how much is going past us. So what he's going to be able to do is not only is he going to be able to tell how much water is going through the weir by the height of the water, but also how high the gate is. And knowing that the gate is at 6 feet 5 inches or 6 5/10, whatever, and the weir is sitting at 7 feet, he'll know that 4 inches is going over top of the gate, and we'll be able to calculate that 14 foot wide space and 6 inches of how much water is going over that gate. And so we'll be able to calculate how much we're losing, how much actually is going into Quitchapaw. And that'll kind of give us some numbers that we can hopefully have a little bit of ability to maybe secure some funding or something so we can build something bigger out there if we can justify that through what we're losing.
Yeah, additionally with the gates, right, he'll be able to, right now they go in and to raise the gate, they have to kill the power when it gets to a certain level. So he's going to be able to go in and program that so that they can just plug in on their phones what height that they want it.
Well, and it will actually, we'll show that we want 4 CFS going through the V-weir, and it will set the gate so that it only allows 4 CFS to go through that V-weir, but it will also know that there's a foot of water going over the 14-foot gate, and it'll be able to calculate how much water
the
that
sensor is actually driving the height of the gate.
Yes. They'll just coincide with each other, mm-hmm. depending on how much we want going through the viewer.
You can see on those trends how important that is, because usually about midnight is when you get the peak flow, and then it's back down to a low flow at noon, and so it'll just be able to adjust itself.
Yeah, you set that gate at, you set that gate to where the weir is putting 5 CFS to fill those ponds, and you have 37 CFS coming down through it at noon, and then at midnight you have 120 CFS. It just, I mean, you got 15 or 20 CFS going down through there.
But you may not ever see it again happen again.
Yeah, exactly.
The
we're hoping it happens for the next 5 years.
Another 14 years.
14 years.
The only other thing that's going on out there is if you want to go out and catch about 10,000 polywogs.
Oh, they're there. They are everywhere. They're probably frogs now. It's been a week.
Yeah.
So
there are thousands of those.
Oh,
that's things.
Amazing. And salamanders.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't believe the salamanders I found at the in our rocks.
Yeah, same with my kids went and found, pulled three out of there the other day.
In the Lazy River deal?
Yeah.
Well, salamanders was one of Parowan City's biggest problems with their water reclamation.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that that was their town reptile.
Their mascot.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to anything else on that?
I don't have anything.
Water conservation update? Anything on the conservation effort?
Yeah, we're just 100% full bore again. Just bring it up one more time. June 29th, Water Festival.
Week from Saturday.
Anything else, Jess, you want to add on that? You can tune in to B92 and hear Jess and Mandy, their advertisement for the Water Festival. It's a good time. That's all I have.
Okay. District infrastructure improvements. Check what's going on with those two.
So with Check Shawnee, we got it's finally submitted through the rigorous, painful application process that we thought we'd at least hear back by now. But anyway, it's fully submitted. Cedar Highlands is on its way out of their review. They still have it, but hopefully we hear back soon and get their final. So they have a local review that they do that has been taking a long time, obviously. But Chickshawnee Cliffs is moving forward. There's a couple of concerns that I have. Meanwhile, since we've had this time, we've had opportunities to go and test other wells in the area. So we've tested wells west of the freeway and down in that area, and the water is really not much better. So our ideas and thoughts that hopefully water would be better to the west, or maybe not so. I think there's a chart, isn't there, on that?
I sampled the whole well again yesterday too, Paul.
What's that?
I sampled the Holt well yesterday, again. Too, so it's submitted, so we'll find out.
Curtis, we go back to that board letter on that chart?
Yeah. What's the drawdown on our well now that he's pulling with his pivot?
Right there.
It has been, it's kind of interesting because no matter how long he runs it, once he shuts it off, and he's been listening to us really well, and when he shuts it off, it comes right back.
Really?
Yeah,
I was curious what the drawdown.
It surprised me too that it would come back like it has, but it has come back to where it was at every time he shuts it off. So within a day.
So it really hasn't affected us. He calls us about once a week and asks how we're being affected.
Well, that's on the east pivot, right?
Yep.
Not the west pivot.
Yep.
The west pivot's off a different well, right?
Yeah, the west is the one off down by the freeway.
Mm-hmm. And he's. He's been very cooperative. He had some other oil that wasn't food grade oil on site at that well on the east, and we saw it there. And immediately he came out and brought out food grade oil, and
that's always good to use.
Yeah,
we do have a well right there to the north of the pivot.
You guys
north
do?
North of Shekshani, we do. So if you guys want, we can go turn it on and
does
get
have
water.
Power?
Well, yeah. Okay. We just take a generator with us. We don't have permanent power there, but I can get sure. water out of that well if you need.
Let's do that.
Yeah, you've got a yard hydrant right there, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it. It hasn't killed the sheep, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Anything will kill the sheep.
That's right.
It's true.
Lived, then yeah, but we could get water out of that if you want to test it. Just tell.
What does it need to power it up?
Generator.
How big?
I don't know. A big one.
White one on our.
Don't tell them too big. One I can't lift by myself and put on the trailer. I use the backhoe. How about that?
Okay. That's what I was wondering. Probably a 25 kilowatt.
I think so.
Okay.
I can have that down there. Just tell me when you'll be down there, and we can go down and okay. fire it up. Let it run for a minute, and then get you some tests.
Paul wants to do that. We can do it.
Yeah, I'll let you guys figure out a time when you can get together.
Yeah. That'd be good. Thank you.
Great. So there's analysis there of all those different wells that we've taken samples of. And currently where they stand, the column that's kind of on the right end there, 3N, total dissolved solids. You can see the Shekshani well is the second one down, but it's the EPA max level, and this is a second tier, is 1,000 TDS, and they currently have 1,600 in their TDS. And then that's a homeowner. The one down below is just a residence there. And then the whole well near I-15, 429 TDS. I thought it was closer to 700. That might be an error on that. I'm pretty sure it's around 700.
You've actually got.
Oh, that's
you've
near.
You've got the west of 91 at 712. So.
Yeah, that one near. There's a
you
couple.
Got the
there's
one
a
right
mis-
under.
There's
all
a mis-
that's
yeah.
Seven.
So the one that says Holt Well west of 91, that's the one that's near I-15, and that one's 712. And then the one, and that one's near I-15. The Holt Well near 91 was around 1,000 TDS.
No, Camp Creek's isn't that far away from.
So Camp Creek right there that runs right next to our well.
Uh-huh.
We sampled the stream flow out of that, and that's 1,000 TDS. And then another residence there, 1,500 TDS. Big well, or Big Trees well right across the street from Shekshani, 1,200. And then a Carter well, that's the one that's west of the highway there, is 1,100 on the TDS. So depending on, you know, whether or not we get this grant, that's going to determine what we do, you know, how much of a grant, and what the public wants to do down there. They're going to be the decision makers that are going to decide what they're going to want to do.
Which one of those is the Holt well that we were kind of hoping we could?
The one near I-15.
One near I-15 is 712. Hmm. So maybe further analysis needs to be done because that's 1,000 foot deep. So maybe deeper water is better water.
Yeah, he ended up going over 1,000, didn't he?
I think so. So, or right at 1,000 somewhere near.
Yeah, and then he pumped forever to get rid of the. It was chocolate for weeks.
Yeah.
My sample on that well yesterday was fairly. It had some sand in it, too.
Did it?
And it's been running for about 3 or 4 days. So, but it'll be interesting to see what this one comes back at.
But we can develop wells in sandy areas. It takes us a little more
different
time.
Different. You're not going to get the best production, but you can filter it out.
Mm-hmm. You end up drilling a little bit bigger well. And
Tom Sardoni put in that big old system in his house, and he's not having a problem since then, but it was like $12,000 or $13,000 is what he dumped into his system in his own house, and he says it's great now.
In Shekshani?
Yeah.
He just drilled his own well, huh?
No, he just put his own system inside of his house.
I think he put his own reverse osmosis system.
To clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's great now.
Yeah.
Where does he live?
South of the post office boxes a little bit, like 2 or 3 houses, a big old detached garage behind the back of it.
Oh, yeah, he's the
attorney guy. Short little fat dude. Pretty cool dude.
What's his name again?
Tom Sardoni.
Maybe we'll catch a.
His wife's name's Gail.
Didn't he used to be the Garfield Hospital?
Not an attorney.
This guy's an attorney.
He has his business down in Anaheim. He's close to Anaheim. He goes down there every week.
Well, he used to be the bishop in Canaverville, right?
Yeah. He is a bishop, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Good dude.
I don't think I got to talk to him. Because I went house to house visiting with people down there. So.
And then Cedar Highlands, we're just nailing down a couple of spring things. And then there's a landowner up there that continually wants to see potential of cooperating with a well. Surprised that he hasn't stopped by tonight, but we'll see where that goes.
Okay, groundwater management plan and the water rights changes. Do we need to discuss that here?
We'll discuss some of that in a
closed session.
Potential litigation, but on the groundwater management plan, there's hasn't been an update other than a state engineer, I think, would like to come down and meet with that committee fairly soon. So,
okay, board members report. Do you have any reports, anyone?
I apologize for being a little bit late, but my daughter has proven that you can swim faster in Iron County water than you can in any other water. So,
she won?
So that's good. She actually cut about 6 seconds off her 200 free and 3 seconds off her 200 back.
That's so impressive.
She's cruising.
That's because it's hard water. You don't have as much.
Well, I think it is so hard that you just reach out and pull yourself through it. It's like crawling instead of swimming. But that's why I was a little bit late. Thank you.
Awesome.
Good.
Well, you didn't share the other good news. Mm-hmm. Personal records, but she got a gold and a silver, right?
Silver, gold in the 200 free and a silver in the 200 buck.
Good.
That's great. Tomorrow's another day.
Walk that fast.
Okay, next, on the turn the page, we're to the engineering report. Do you have anything to report, Kelly?
Yeah. I just wanted to cover a little bit. We are moving forward. The EIS is in process, and we're having weekly meetings with their consultant there. Things are moving along very quickly and good. We have a lot of moving parts going on there. We're really trying to tie down the alignment exactly so that we get all of the appropriate bugs and bunnies surveyed to make sure that we don't damage any bugs and bunnies. Or
when you get your GIS stuff done, and it's all finished and approved, then will you let Iron County download that to upgrade their maps?
Good question.
Depends on how much money they give us.
We'll try and get something out of them to do that. Yeah, we've found a lot of monuments and things that will hopefully help.
They need some help.
I hope it'll help a lot. So the latest discussion this last month has included significant discussion on groundwater, how we're approaching the groundwater modeling that we're doing out there. And we feel really comfortable with the direction we're heading. We're trying to make sure that we have all of our options open and that we can move forward with construction the way in the manner that we'll need to, and not have our hands tied too much through the EIS process. So I think it's moving well that way, but that's kind of our goals and where we're trying to get to for the future here. So
there's been a significant amount of draw and pull data gathering for this for the EIS. So it's taken a lot of my time and Curtis and Kelly's time. We've done a lot of work to pull all that together and deliver that to them. So
the people we hired, you're happy so far?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, we've had to bring in Don Barnett, as was mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, for the hydrology portion. We felt like it was really imperative that we have a hydrologist on our side that wasn't just from the BLM saying that they wanted to study everything from they're literally Parowan up into Tooele. So. Any hydraulic connection, So it was, the scope was getting massive.
And he kind of reined it in, did he?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've started the process, but we felt like that was important, so.
Anything else?
I think
that's it. Curtis? All right, then, that concludes our regular agenda. We need to go into a closed session, so I'll entertain a motion that we exit this meeting and enter the closed session.
Motion to go exit our regular meeting and go into closed session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
I was counting. I was to four.
I was going to just not say anything. They would never go into the meeting.
See you guys.
Trace.
So does that mean we go home or stay here all night?
Well, we go home.
Yeah. Okay, well, I shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah. It's monumental when your name's on your shirt.